strong my roots. Deep into the ground, strong, strong my wings. This is Osho Radio. Today we have a program for you about love and freedom. Osho talked about this in our last program, but today he talks about it from a different angle. All this wonderful music, the discourses, the silences. Is this Osho? Yes, for me this is Osho. I wish all this beauty brings you one meditative hour in your busy life. The discourse today is from the series Philosophia Ultima, number 10, question number 2. The questioner asks Osho how all the negative reactions towards him has influenced him and how it is possible that he's still showering so much love on everybody. Love, says Osho, comes from within and is not depending on anything or anybody. Only that kind of love, which is independent, that arises from within you, can grow and spread, and at the same time is the door to freedom. Thank you.
the second question. Book one. Suppose you had experienced only negative reactions by others and had received no love in your life, would you still be such a loving, happy man? Or does happiness require a certain resonance and response by others or by God? Even Jesus Christ did not die happily, as it is written in Matthew chapter 22. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried loudly, "Lord, Lord, why have you left me?" Love has nothing to do with what others do with you. Love is not a response to a certain positive situation. You are born with love. Love is the very stuff you are made of. You can go on giving it. It is a question of giving, not getting. Of course, when you give, it comes back. It comes back millions of times more, because the whole existence responds. But the basic idea is not to get, but to give. The world is so much loveless and full of hate for the simple reason, because everybody wants to get love first. That is his condition to give. And if everybody wants love first, then who is going to give it? And because nobody gets it, the first basic condition is not fulfilled, then nobody ever thinks of giving it. And remember, love is alive only when you give it. If you don't give it, it goes sour. It becomes dead. It becomes a dead weight on you. It becomes hatred. It turns into its very opposite. It becomes fear. It becomes jealousy. It becomes possessiveness. Once your love is not alive, then it turns into hundreds of monsters in you. And when you start giving those wrong vibes, naturally, the whole existence reflects them back to you. Then one is in a vicious circle. First you don't give love. Love goes wrong, sour, bitter, becomes poisonous, and then you give it. You give anger, you give violence, you give hatred. For that you don't make any condition. You give those things unconditionally. Any small excuse is enough. And if there are no excuses, you invent excuses. Then more and more hatred rebounds. And when hatred rebounds on you, of course, you have every right to give more hatred. Then love is completely lost. You say, suppose you had experienced only negative reactions by others. In fact, that's what I have experienced. And still I go on experiencing the negative emotions. In fact, it will be difficult to find you another man on the earth who receives so many negative reactions from others. But I enjoy it. I love it. By their negativity, they are showing they are interested in me. By their negativity, they are showing that they are not able to ignore me. By their negativity, they are taking a certain standpoint about me. And if they are negative, they can be positive too. By being negative, they have given the indication that they are related to me. Only the person who is neutral cannot be changed, cannot be transformed. Negativity can easily turn into positivity. Hate can easily turn into love, just as love can turn into hate. But a person who is absolutely neutral, neither hateful nor loving, is beyond any change. He is rock-like. So I immensely enjoy people's negativity. And I take it as a challenge. A challenge to my love. If I can still love them, only then I know what love is. If I can love only people who love me, then it is business, bargain. If I can love even people who don't love me, who certainly are hateful towards me, who would like to destroy me, then it is true love. It is unconditional love. It makes no demands on them. I have experienced as much negativity as one can ever experience. And from my very childhood, because my attitude has been that of a rebel. I have been disobedient, rebellious. I have annoyed almost everybody. My relatives, people of my village, my teachers, my professors, I have annoyed everybody. I enjoyed it. But I have never hated anybody. Even the people I annoyed, the people who took every kind of revenge with me, I had been expelled from colleges, from universities, but I have never hated anybody. Even the people who were the cause of expelling me, my love for them has remained the same. And they were puzzled by it. They were very much at a loss, because they were expecting that I will be angry. But I was never angry. Rebellious, certainly, but angry never. Disobedient, certainly, but disrespectful never. With all my respects, I disobeyed. I remained always humbly yours. Rebelling, fighting, annoying them, doing every kind of thing that they would not like, but always sincerely yours. About that, even they were certain that I am sincerely respectful. I have experienced all kind of negative reactions by others. That has not destroyed my love. In fact, on the contrary, it has made my love more integrated. It has made my love so centered and grounded that now I can say nothing can shake it. Nothing can change it. Even if somebody kills me, I will die loving him. You say, suppose you had experienced only negative reactions by others and had received no love in your life, would you still be such a loving, happy man? Yes, I would be still the same. Whatsoever I am is not dependent on anybody else. It is my independence. It is the way I love to be. I enjoy to be. It has nothing to do with others. What others are doing with me or have done with me has nothing to do with what I am. They have not created me. I have discovered myself. Nobody has created me. And a love that is created by others can be taken back. If it is only possible in a certain situation, the moment the situation changes, your love will wither away. My love cannot wither away, because you have not created it. Yes, I have received much love, but that has happened only because I loved, not before it. It was not a condition for the arousal of my love. It was only a response of existence. All my sannyasins who have gathered around me from all over the world love me immensely. But that is not the cause of my love to them. Just the opposite is the case. Because I have loved, they have come to me. It is my love that has brought them to me. Now you will see me surrounded by so many loving people. But they have come to me because a certain magnetic love is in existence here. They are pulled by it. They are ready to do anything. I never ask them to do anything for me, but they are ready to do anything. They will be ready to die for me. although I would not like anybody to die for me, all that I would like is to live for me. Love cannot ask to die. Love can only ask live in celebration. But I have experienced and I go on experiencing all kinds of negativities. Millions of people would like me to be destroyed immediately. But that does not make any difference to my love. Love is something eternal. It is not temporal. It has nothing to do with time, nothing to do with others. You say, does happiness require a certain resonance and response by others or by God? No, not at all. If it is dependent on others, then it is only pleasure and very momentary. And soon you will be frustrated by it because it will destroy our freedom. You will become dependent. And remember, freedom is a higher value, higher than love. If love helps freedom, only then it is of any value. If it destroys freedom, then soon you will be tired of it. It will become a burden on you. If love becomes an imprisonment, howsoever beautiful, cozy, secure, comfortable, still you would not like to live in that prison. You would like to live under the sky, in the open. You would like to live in the unknown. You would like to live dangerously, because there you will have the ecstasy of freedom, the freedom of the bird on the wing, the freedom of the flowers. Love is valuable only if it is in tune with freedom. But it can be in tune with freedom only if it is not given by others, not even by God. Because if it is given by others, it makes you a slave. And not only that, if it is given by others to you, you start clinging to others. You start expecting it. And every expectation brings 1001 frustrations. And that's what happened to Jesus Christ. You say even Jesus Christ did not die happily. As it is written in Matthew, at the 9th hour Jesus cried loudly, Lord, Lord, why have you left me? According to me, up to this moment, when Jesus cries to God, why you have forsaken me? He is only Jesus, not Christ. He became Christ only in the last moment. That's why Christianity has been a dead religion from the very beginning. Because Christ became a Christ only on the cross at the last moment. He had no time to give his message, no time to sow the seeds, no time to help people to become enlightened. Buddha lived for 42 years after his enlightenment. Naturally, he managed to help thousands of people. He was the most fortunate master up to now. Underline it. Because hundreds of his disciples became enlightened before he left the world. He didn't die unhappily. He died fulfilled. Fulfilled he was because he was enlightened, and also fulfilled as a master. Jesus had no time. Up to this cry, he was only Jesus. Because this cry shows that he died unhappily. But you are not aware that something after this cry happened. Just few seconds more. You are missing those few seconds. Those few seconds transformed his whole being. Up to this statement, he is certainly a miserable man. And the misery is coming from expectations. Otherwise, why he should say, "Lord, Lord, why have you left me?" He must have been hoping, expecting that some miracle is going to happen, that God is going to come down. Something is going to save him at the last moment. The cross suddenly will change into a golden throne. Hands from the sky will appear and he will be saved, and at least 100,000 people had gathered to see the miracle. There was no difference as far as expectations are concerned. Those people have gathered to see the miracle. Because they have heard so much about Jesus that he walks on water, that he cures the blind people, that he makes the unhealthy healthy, that he had even raised a dead man, Lazarus, back to life. All that must be sheer bullshit. Lazarus was his old friend. Must be pretending. Maybe doing some yoga exercise, pranayama, holding the breath in. Yogis are known to do that very easily. There are pranayama exercises, breathing exercises. You can stop breathing for a certain period of time. And in those moments, you are as dead as one can be. There are methods. Yoga is 10,000 year old science. It has done many discoveries within the body. And these things are possible. Lazarus must have been a yogi. He did well. And Jesus walking on waters must have known the rocks where they are. In my own village, I used to walk on water. I know the rocks. people had gathered to see. Now the greatest miracle ever will happen. I can forgive the people, but I cannot forgive Jesus. Even he was expecting, and nothing was happening. He was crucified, and nothing has happened, and everything was just going without any miracle. Lord, Lord, why have you left me? Expectation brings frustration. This statement is enough to say that he was not yet a Buddha, not yet a man who has no expectations from life, no desires. He was still as unenlightened as the people who had gathered there. But he was certainly a very intelligent man. He immediately understood the point and immediately corrected it. He raised his eyes towards the sky and said, "Forgive me. Let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done." The moment he said, "Let thy will be done," he became Christ. Before that he was only Jesus, son of Joseph and Mary, son of man. The moment he said, "Let thy kingdom come, let thy will be done," he surrendered his ego with all its expectations, his mind with all its desires. That yes, that total yes. And it can only be total at the last moment when one was dying. What was there to hold back? He totally surrendered. That was let go. In that let go, he became Christ. I will not say he died unhappily. He died blissfully. But you are right. As far as up to this statement, Matthew chapter 22, he is miserable, very miserable. But in the last moment, the miracle happened, the real miracle. Not that he was saved, but he surrendered. Resurrection is not the miracle. Surrender is the miracle. Thy will be done. The moment he said it totally, there was no problem, no misery, no expectation, no frustration. He was at ease, at home. He was one with the universe. He attained to the fourth estate, the Turiya. He became awakened. He died an awakened man, but he could not give the message. So Christianity is based on the teachings of Jesus, which are bound to be faulty, which are bound to be erroneous, which are bound to carry many flaws. And now I have decided to tell you what flaws they are having. But after this moment, there is no flaw, no error, but he has not said anything at all. He died in absolute silence, blissfully. That is the only moment which is precious in Jesus' life. For the first time, he was absolutely free. When there is no desire, there is freedom. For the first time, he is absolutely free. Because when there is no ego, there is freedom. Freedom does not mean freedom of the self. Freedom means freedom from the self. And it brings immense bliss and benediction. Thank you.
Music that you heard in this program came from the world of Osho, Osho lovers and friends. We started with Milarepa and Narayani with a song called Freedom. Then there was an instrumental piece from the CD Commentaries of the Bamboos, And just before the discourse, you heard Devakant. After the discourse, there was guitar music from Shastro called Lavender Moon, and Anand Vicha was singing a Hindi song, Namaish Meshan. We finish with a happy song by Prem Kai called Osho Celebration. Bye-bye, everybody. Take care. Come back to Osho Radio next time or listen to former programs that we have put on the website, oshoradio.net. Bye-bye and namaste.
Sing a song full of life, love and joy. We dance with the sun, we dance with the rain, we embrace the earth and the sky. Osho, we sing and celebrate. Osho, we dance and sing. Osho, we celebrate. Seasons go, yet this love still remains. We trust the moment, we trust in life, accepting all that it brings.
Osho, we sing and celebrate. Osho, we dance and sing. Osho, we celebrate.
We see.